Welcome to Heralding the Truth, radio ministry of Russell Road Church in Sydney, Ohio. Here at Russell Road, our vision is to build a people who are establishing God's Word, advancing His kingdom, a body of believers endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. We appreciate you joining us for this dynamic and life-changing Word. Here now is today's message.
I'm Pastor Fred Gillenwater here at Russell Road Church. Thank you for tuning in. We've been looking at principles and how to grow and what God is calling us to, growing from not staying babies in Christ. And God really wants us to grow up. And so that's the way we're starting the new year. We're actually starting to fast today. I know everybody's excited about that. There's information in the Narthex out there on fasting. And, you know, you can alter it the way you want to. And some of you have, you know, medical reasons why you can't do certain things, so you have to alter that the way you want to. So the idea is that you can participate. You can fast other things, you know. You can fast watching TV. You can fast, you know, certain foods, you know, certain things. You can, there's a lot of ways to fast. So fasting is a big biblical exercise. It is, and it does. It helps you focus. And it just helps you reflect and help you get direction. So I always look forward to this time of year. 21 days we're doing it, and I'm excited. So we are going to continue in this. Let's. Why don't we get to the vision? Let's go to the vision first, and then Christina will go to that Hebrews portion of Scripture. All right. To build a people who are established in God's Word, advancing His kingdom, a body of believers endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Vision is huge. See, we've been talking about the Word of Righteousness, and that really helps you in your vision with God. And we're going to be talking about that, and that's what we're supposed to be maturing, and so we can handle the Word of Righteousness. And we have to grow into that, but it takes time. It really does. It takes time. And that's what maturity does. It takes time. So, vision is big. So, that vision on the wall there that we just said, that's what gets me up every morning. And I know that's a vision from God, and that's the way God works. He wants you to see things the way He sees them. And so, David said this. He said this in Psalms 27. He said, "Teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me in the smooth path because of my enemies all around me." He said, "False witnesses have risen against me, and such breathe out violence." Can anybody relate? Breathe out violence. And then he says, "Such breathe out violence." He says, "For I would have lost heart unless I could see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living." So now think about this. The term "lost heart" means vision. Means vision. So what happens when you lose your heart? You lose your vision over the way God sees things. Did you hear me? And when you lose your heart, see, that's why he says, what's the greatest commandment? To love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your strength, and with all your soul. And love your neighbor as you love yourself. Those are the two greatest commandments. That's the vision. When that is in place, we are moving in the right direction. On those two commandments, everything hangs on those two. So when we have a vision, and it's clear, We make better decisions. We come to better conclusions. You see that? Even when it's not comfortable, even when it's difficult, when the enemy's breathing down your back, right? All things, pressure has privilege, remember? When that's on you. But when you know and you keep your vision, God's going to get you through it. He's going to get you to everything He's created you for because you've kept your vision. You didn't lose heart. When you lose heart, now your heart's wandering and wondering. You're talking to somebody else, or you're listening and believing something else, or you think you get your own opinions and ideas of how things work. You see, that's why he says, listen, that's why he says the weapons of our warfare aren't carnal. Right? 2 Corinthians 10:3. They're not carnal, but mighty in God. But mighty in God for the pulling down of what? Strongholds, casting down arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. You see? That's where the war is, right here. Vision, when your eyes are on Christ, you make decisions in your head, your thought life, that line up with Him, that bring you freedom, that bring you the anointing. That's why he says that you may obey Christ. When you obey Christ, that releases an anointing in your life. That anointing is for your children. It's for your wife. It's for those who matter the most to you. You see that? When you obey Christ, you release that anointing on them. But when you go off and do your own thing, you release a mess on them. You see that? Something that's inferior. And that gets on your children as well. You see that? Is this making sense, guys? And baptism is not required for salvation. It's not a prerequisite for salvation. But it's the first act of obedience to be baptized. And actually, we're going to be doing some baptisms when? The 25th. She made the announcement on the 25th here. At the 11 o'clock service. But anyways, this is significant. So we don't want to lose heart, because if you lose heart, you lose your vision. And we don't want to lose our vision, because we want to keep seeing things the way God sees them. But it's going to take us becoming more skilled in the word of righteousness. And we're going to talk about that today. Oh, we're going to do the verse. Stand back up. Donita reminded me. We always stand to read the word of God here because it honors God and it honors His word. And we believe that. We believe in standing up, all right? The Hebrews portion there, there you go. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. And you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age, that is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Therefore, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ, that's what we're talking about today. The elementary principles of Christ. Now that word Christ means, that's not Jesus' last name. That means the anointed one. So you're anointed. He's trying to bring His anointing on you. He wants it to flow through you. When you do His will, you see, now the anointing's coming through you. Does that make sense? It's helping you and it's helping those who matter most to you. Let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundations of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God. All right. We're going to look at these principles, and we're going to extrapolate a few things here that I think is going to help you. Okay. So now, go back to the first verse, if you would, Christina. Remember the word ought from last week's teaching? It literally means moral obligation. It's your moral obligation to understand these basic principles. So now here's the thing. The Hebrews were saved, but they weren't operating in the principles. You see that? They hadn't grown in these principles. See, this is talking about the New Testament now. And that's why it goes on. That's why he says in Romans chapter 10, round about, I don't know, verse 5 or so, 14, no, 5. Christ is the end of the law. That doesn't mean we don't need the law anymore, because the law is the schoolmaster that reveals sin to you. It shows you your sin. It reveals it to you. But Christ is the end of the law. So now we are in the age of grace. See that? And so when we understand Christ and his anointing and his way, man, it changes your whole world. And this is what a Christian is, Christ-like. And this is why we need the Bible, because it helps us to understand and grow and develop in these areas of our life, so we can be Christ-like. And that's what he's wanting us to do, remember? Don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may do what? That you may prove what is that good, perfect, and acceptable will of God. The world is looking for someone to prove it to them. And that's what we're supposed to be. We got young people coming to this church. The people that are here, we don't want them to run people off. We want them to prove that this Christ is worth following and he's credible. You see that? And when they see that, they're going to want it even more. So that's we ought to give people an appetite for Christ, because we're enjoying life. We're not walking around like we're blaming everything and everybody and echoing all the problems of the government. No, we have good news. Amen. Too good to be true news, the gospel. That's what we ought to be about. That's the church. Amen? That's the church. That's the church the gates of hell are not going to prevail against. We have good news. Now, let's look at this. So it says you ought to be teachers. Teachers is that word didakados. And it's an important term, and it describes a masterful teacher or someone who is superior in his field of expertise. This is the way we're supposed to be spiritually. We should be like we know something. Am I making sense? Well, when you start to grow and mature, that's what happens in your life. You can start to really begin to live and know some things, and you don't fall apart like a $2 suitcase when difficult things happen. You maintain your vision, and you maintain your walk with God, and you stay connected in the church, because that's the environment you were designed for. Is this making sense? Now, teachers. And he says, we have need. You need someone. This word need means deficit. It means deficit. You have a lack. It means lack or deficit. It says, then you need someone to teach you the first principles of the oracles of God. And that's why I'm starting this year off with this, because I know there's a lot of people that need this teaching. As I need to hear it all. I always need to hear it myself. I've taught on this when I first came up in this church years ago. I taught on these principles. I teach this because it's important. Now watch. You need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. This word principle, I want to point this out to you. It's the Greek word S-T-O-I-C-H-E-I-O-N. This word describes basic elements, fundamentals, or rudimentary knowledge. Now listen. It's the Greek word. The word first is the Greek word arch. It describes the first beginnings of something elementary. See that? Elementary. Philosophers use this word, S-T-O-I-C-H-E-I-O-N. I'm giving you that because you can look it up. And this is what it means. Now watch. To describe the arch, the first elements. In other words, the elements without which nothing else, listen, the elements without which nothing else would find existence. Did you catch that? Would find existence. These are the elements that form the building blocks compromising all of constructed creation. Now, these principles are the basic truths upon which rests the entire house of the New Testament. You saw it in Hebrews. That's what he's teaching them. Because now you no longer have to sacrifice animals for your sin. We're under the new covenant. Amen. And so there's some new principles that go under this and with this. Am I making sense? Yeah. And so that's why he says this. Christ is the end of the law. We still need the law. And I'm not throwing the law out. I'm just trying to help you see. Christ is the end of the law. And when we're in Christ, we are in his anointing. In him we live, in him we move, and in him we have our being. Amen? That's where our freedom is. It's in Christ. Amen?
Amen.
I want more of you.
Yeah.
We want more, right?
Amen.
More of Christ, because it's freedom. But with that freedom comes obedience. You're going to have to be obeying somewhere in your heart and in your thought life. Amen? The freedom's not going to come without that. Now watch. Now, these principles rest upon the entire house of the New Testament. So by saying first principles, the Holy Spirit is describing the fundamental knowledge that is required for every believer to obtain before he or she can advance to a higher level spiritually. If we're going to advance spiritually and mature, these principles are essential and necessary. The Bible calls them the elementary principles of Christ, the basic principles of Christ, the doctrines of Christ. So they're the starting point. You know, I remember when I was in kindergarten, and, you know, my mom was put into that institution when I was 5, so she wasn't home. She was in an institution, a mental institution over on Wayne Avenue. And so I would go to kindergarten by myself. So I remember going to kindergarten, and, you know, I'm just a little knucklehead, and I got to get myself dressed. I got to do, you know, my dad tried to get me all ready before the night before, but I'm going to school, this kindergarten, and they're trying to teach me the ABCs. A, B, C, D, you know? And that's what happens. They start to teach you the ABCs. And they got blocks and they got things. And then you write them on this big, you know, the paper had the big lines. And then you had to have a big round pencil. I didn't have my round pencil. The teacher had to give me, well, you need to get your mother to get you a round. Well, my mom's not home. Oh, well, get your dad to get you, you know? And I'm fighting all these things because I don't fit because I'm always struggling with, you know, getting dressed and all these things just to get to kindergarten. Does this make sense? And so it's causing a struggle for me to read and pay attention. So now we're starting to read. Betty has a dog. The dog barks. Roof, woof. See, you learn the ABCs. Then you learn how to put words together. Then now you cognitively, you can begin to communicate what you just read. And it puts things in your brain and your mind and helps you to begin to read. I hated reading. It was so hard for me because I was fighting all these other things. I love to read now. I can't read enough. I'm always reading. Donita says, are you going to get your head out of that book? I said, maybe. No. I'm always reading. I love to read. I can read I just can't. And here's I like what Roosevelt said. He said, you can be a good reader and not be a good leader. But you can't be a good leader and not be a good reader. That's huge. And so I love to read. So this is something I'm trying to help you see. This is how this works spiritually. We have to learn, like go back to those ABCs. And no matter how old you are, and learn the new life in Christ and how these principles work in the spiritual realm. So now, the ABCs of the Christian life. When believers are ignorant of the fundamental doctrines, it causes them to struggle and make catastrophic mistakes and poor decisions in life. I'm telling you, I see it all the time. I see it all the time. People making poor decisions and mistakes in their life because of their view of the way things are. You see this? Their vision is obfuscated, and they don't understand the word of righteousness, and now it affects everything they're doing. Now pay attention. These six basic doctrines, because they were still in a spiritual beginner's class, they still exist in the church today. People are very, very immature in the things, in these principles. But when we start to grow in them and we start to mature in them, it makes life more fuller. Am I making sense? Come on, am I? Doesn't mean you're not going to make mistakes. You're going to. But folks, even your own mistakes, it's like you're okay because you're mature. You're not falling apart. It helps you. Your emotions aren't like, well, I got to go have a drink. No. I'm secure in my faith. I don't need something to take the edge off. I got the Holy Spirit to take the edge off. You see that? And when you have that, you have something. The word of righteousness. You see, what happens is now your thoughts go to the word that you understand within you. The standard raises up. When the enemy comes in, the Spirit of the Lord will raise up a standard against him. And the standard is the principles. He'll raise up those principles, those standards, in your mind. It's like he's in there campaigning, hey, this is the way you go. Okay, I'm going to go that way. I'm going the right way now. Is that making sense? Come on, he's raising up the standard. The word standard means banner. In Psalm 62:4, he's given us a banner of truth that it may be displayed. He wants you to have that banner in you, and he wants you to display it wherever you go. That I'm following Christ. Does that make sense? Now listen, baptism is not a prerequisite for you to be saved. Did I say that? Okay, so now we're going to have baptisms on the 25th. So if you need to be baptized, you might consider it. That's your first really act of obedience. Now watch. Because you see, when you don't have that in place, it affects how you obey Christ in other areas of your life. Because it's means a lot to him to be baptized. He got baptized. He wants us to be baptized. All right, because that's part of the Great Commission. And you want to be part of the Great Commission, right? Now look, this is what happens when many new believers skip these principles and these basic fundamentals of the faith. They try to advance, clamoring for higher levels spiritually, and they're not equipped. They're not equipped to handle the problems they're facing. And they end up making poor decisions, and it ends up in wrong conclusions. They embrace teachings that sound interesting, but don't quite fit the Word of God. The Bible is really what we need. It's the standard. The Word of God is the Word of righteousness. Now listen, because the Bible says in 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is inspired by God and is profitable. Remember the word profit? What's left after the exchange. And is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, fully equipped, prepared for every good work. The Bible has been given to us to prepare us to fulfill his will and our destiny on this earth. Am I making sense? And when we have a healthy diet of it and living in it and it's being spoken over us, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. We have a hearing. Every time you're on trial, there's a hearing. You need to hear the word of God. The courtroom of heaven is in session. There's a hearing over your life. Are you gonna go God's way and stay free? Are you gonna rebel and go into condemnation? Am I making sense? That's good preaching right there. When I get God's word on it, I got the hearing. It's settled. And I'm gonna go his way. Now watch this. They aren't able to discern right from wrong because they haven't got these basic principles established in their heart. They keep coming to such inaccurate spiritual conclusions. They make wrong decisions because of the first principles are not the foundation in their life. They are essential. The first principles are essential for you to grow and have a healthy foundation. The truths, fundamental spiritual truths, provide a platform on which to build your life. So now when I got these in my life, now I can build on top of them, and my life starts to come together. The dots start to come together. I start to say, this is the way life works. This is the way I was designed to live. Now, the consequences of remaining unskillful in the word of righteousness are pretty heavy. They're very heavy. It goes on to say, you have need that someone teach you again, which is the first principles of the oracles of God. This word teach, not teacher, this word teach comes from the same Greek word, didasko, and it describes a systematic learning of a student through an ever-present instruction of a teacher. See, a teacher and a pastor is like a coach. We're like a coach. It's like I'm up here coaching, in a way. But I'm a pastor, right? It's very similar. Here, the word coach comes from the if you do the etymology on the word coach, it used to be spelled with a K. And it comes from Coach Hungary, over in Hungary. And there's a city there named Coach Hungary. And back in the 1500s, this opulent family, they had some, you know, money and land and stuff. They said, we want to move. Well, how are we going to get there? So we need to get a coach, a stagecoach, to help us to get there. So they got a new stagecoach. They built it bigger with wheels, and they put all their stuff on it. And they moved from one place to another place. And then they started their house and building all that. Does this make sense? So that's what coaching does. It helps you help someone else get from somewhere, from one place to the next, that they can't get on their own. You see that? And that's what a coach does. A coach has some experience, has gone through some things, so he can help you get to a place you can't get to on your own. And that's what we need.
Only the truth and truthfulness can save us now. Only the truth and truthfulness can save us.
You've been listening to Heralding the Truth, the radio ministry of Russell Road Church. We are located at 340 West Russell Road in Sydney, Ohio. Our service time is Sunday mornings at 9 and 11 a.m. If we can be of help to you, you may contact us at 937-492-6412 or visit us on the web at russellroadchurch.com or Facebook by searching Russell Road Church, Sydney. We end today's broadcast with these words from the Apostle Paul, taken from 2 Corinthians 13:11. Be complete, be of good comfort, be of one mind, live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you. Have a blessed week.